Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness.
Queer Cast, show number 434. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And it is September.
It is.
My birthday month, and yours is just around the corner.
It is. I'm going to be 40 motherfucking five.
Woo! I like that.
In October.
It's a strong age.
Is it?
I think it's a powerful, potent year for you.
I feel good. I was just bitching before we started talking on air that how tired I am. And so I think maybe the approaching 45 is also giving me the sort of psychic feeling of being tired.
Yes, but if you're tired, then you will release and you will relax and you will surrender, and all that power can come into you if you allow yourself.
Well, I think of the Tao. You know, my one true religion is the Tao of Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about Barbara, who's 69 years old.
Gorgeous.
And with any luck, has, you know, her album will creep. Her new CD was released a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Will creep to number one, and she will have a number one in what's... Six decades,
I think it is.
I mean, what? So that's
crazy, right?
The fact that she has the energy to like sing at 70, I think I can keep going.
I finally just got to watch the PBS or WTTW for here, but you know, whatever your public broadcasting is, wherever you live and watch television, her show in the little club that was the last
the
CD,
Village
which
Vanguard.
I still can't get enough of that CD.
It's gorgeous.
And so, but the new CD is what matters most.
What matters most? Yes, of course I got it instantly.
Yes, and it's what do you think? What's
it's
the verdict?
It's delicious. It's super dramatic. There's some real standouts. Some songs I've never heard before. I know
it's the music of the Bergmans, right? Who helped her write so much all the stuff from Yentl and Main Event, and didn't they write a lot of stuff?
Yeah, I think they didn't write Main Event, but they wrote all of Yentl. They wrote The Way We Were. She didn't record this, but they also wrote the theme song to Maud, just so you know that.
Oh, they did?
Yes, and Donny Hathaway sang it, but whatever. That's cool if you don't know that.
I didn't know
that.
It's
my trivia, yeah. Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. Love that song. But yeah, so it's all, she's recorded like 50 of their songs over the years, but these are ones she never did, like Windmills of My Mind and Nice and Easy, the Sinatra song, and That Face. And it's really beautiful. I'm enjoying it very much. I mean, of course, I'm an unabashed fan. I just think about like getting older and having the energy to keep being
a
creative and fresh. And I figure in the Tao of Barbara, if she can do it, I can do it.
I think what you need to do is start growing roses of various varieties.
Right. Also that get named after me.
Get named after you. We have plenty of backyard.
We
that
do.
Might be your 45th year. You start, and they have to be in monochromatic themes from what
I hear. Right, so that they match like the inside and the outside.
And her nail polish and her gloss.
Well, I mean, speaking of getting older, right, like a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
I don't even remember when it was now, but a couple of weeks ago, we had the good fortune to go see the Queen...
The witch,
the Welsh witch, Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks!
And remember in the car on the way there, we had a little bit of a trivia, sort of a disagreement about how old she was. And I said, she's in her 60s. And you're like, no. And she is. She's 63. I think we figured out right.
Crazy, right?
And I think, and we saw her rock out at the
Rosemont
Theater.
We've seen her. You and I have had the good pleasure of seeing her a few times together. And she is in such good voice these days. Like, I feel like
amazing.
She's beautiful, too.
Beautiful.
I mean, her skin is flawless.
Megan said something so smart about Stevie Nicks, and it's so true that either
because we were kind of ushering Megan,
right? Because she had never seen Stevie before, right?
Stevie. She was a Stevie virgin.
She was a Stevie virgin, and so she had never seen her before. And she's like this past year, she's really gotten into her, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to cover one of the songs from her new album in her next cabaret.
Cool.
She said it's interesting that sort of by accident or by design, who knows? Stevie Nicks has set herself up to be able to perform forever because she was certainly never known for a pretty voice.
Right.
It's a cool voice and an interesting voice and so unique and full of nooks and crannies and cracks and crinkles. Great pitch, though.
Yep.
So nobody goes to hear, like, it's not like Streisand where people go to hear her sing pristinely.
Right.
You go to hear Stevie Nicks's weirdness.
Sing like Stevie Nicks.
Right. And she's made an entire life of flowy, so she doesn't even have to stay. I mean, she still looks in shape, but she doesn't have to.
Right.
Because she has
the shawls.
The shawls to cover.
The corsets.
So she has set herself up to, like, really age gracefully as a performer because it's already there in a way that others, like, what's Beyonce going to do when she can't?
Beyonce will look like Tina Turner. Beyonce, I think, will hold it all together. You know, Beyonce's got a baby coming, so.
I know.
That was the big surpriser shocker at the VMAs.
Yeah.
Before we go on to the VMAs, because I didn't want to talk about him. No, I think Stevie Nicks, she's just timeless. And she's such a great songwriter. And what I love is that, what we were also talking about, is that she hadn't put out an album in almost a decade. And I went
You're
back
right.
and looked at that statistic, because she said something. And I said, I think that Shangri-La came out right around 9/11. And I went back and looked on it right when we came back in the night of the concert, and it did come out like in 2011, and so it kind of got
like 2000.
I'm sorry, 2001. Sorry.
Wow.
And so it kind of did get eclipsed by what was going on
in the world.
It's
a hell of a CD, by the way.
It's a hell of a CD. So pick it back up if you haven't listened to it, folks. But then this new CD, you know, what's so amazing about her is that. She does write some new stuff, but she's just got this treasure vault of these songs because she's a prolific, prolific songwriter. And yet she hasn't been a prolific, she's not like Dolly Parton, who's also a prolific songwriter, but has put out so many CDs, right? And so Stevie just gets to go back and go, I'm singing this song on stage tonight. You know, this is 2 weeks ago. I'm singing this song on stage tonight. And I'm so glad I finally got to produce this and put this on a CD. I wrote this in 1976.
I know, wasn't it amazing?
Right,
Or like I started writing this in 1976 and I put it away. And then the inspiration to finish it came 2 years ago or a year ago. Or when I met Dave Stewart, who produced it. Dave Stewart's producing somebody else who's super, it's super interesting. And now
Do he and Annie still talk, do you think? Are they still compadres?
I think they are. I mean, I've never heard anything about them having a falling out. I just think they wanted to do other things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
What a reunion tour that would be.
I know.
They did that
in like in 98 or something like that, 97.
They did. I think they went back out. I missed it, though. I've never seen them.
It was mostly acoustic. Oh, really?
I've never seen the two of them perform
together. Oh, sweet Lord. I've seen them. I saw Eurythmics 3 times. Ugh. Then I've seen Annie twice, like solo. But Eurythmics, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Especially like, they used to do this thing where they would just sit on stools and do 4 or 5 of their big hits acoustically.
Yeah.
Just to let people know that, like, we're not just a synthesizer. Yeah. Like a synthesizer.
She still does that, I think, when she performs.
Amazing.
She still just does it unplugged. Well, she's timeless, too. I mean, you know, Annie Lennox definitely has that performance art theatricality. I feel like Stevie has some sort of, she has a sense of style and theatricality and performance as well.
Can I ask you a question,
Very
too?
Very subtle. Yes?
Subtle. Well, yes, it's subtle. Her
but
magic
I mean,
is subtle.
She's
but
not,
like
doing something. She's not, like, you know, Beyonce theatricality or Lady Gaga performance art.
There's no diva fan, right?
Right. And there's no, there's not like a level of performance art that's over the top, but there's something that's kind of.
All she had to do was fucking spin for a second and the whole audience.
Exactly.
Can we talk about how many lesbians there were at that concert?
There are a lot of lesbians who love Stevie Nicks.
I guess I never knew that because my brother, you know, is a gay man. And,
Stevie Nicks.
Oh my God, Stevie Nicks is his is his number one diva, you
and
know, like
he's
Barbara.
That's your ringtone on your phone.
Yeah, when my brother calls a really like sort of obscure Stevie Nicks song comes up on my phone because it's my brother. It's called I'm Enchanted for anybody in the name.
Which is the name of her CD disc set. In
yes, exactly. Right.
Which I own.
It's a great song, and it comes up when my brother calls. It'd be funny if he called right now. Wouldn't that be so awesome?
That would be hilarious.
I guess it's not that I didn't know. I guess it never really dawned on me that she. I mean, there was this one. lesbian.
We were not sitting in the same area.
We were not sitting in the same area.
Was sitting near lesbians, some that I knew, and you were sitting near lesbians.
Other
that
ones.
Were,
eventually,
so
Megan
were
had
obnoxious.
To turn. Really obnoxious. So with these women behind us, who just in the middle of quiet other songs kept yelling Rihanna, till finally Megan, who, like we said, is a newbie to Stevie, turned and went, "It's Rhiannon, Rhiannon," and then was like, "No, it's not." And then I turned and was like, "Yeah, it is, girl. Shut up."
And then Stevie comes on stage and goes, "Rhiannon sings like a bell."
Rhiannon. And then there's this other woman who, during the quietest moments of the show, when Stevie Nicks was trying to talk about her art and her craft, this real, she was a big gal. she had a great whistle, I'll tell you that. Just kept screaming in the shrillest, most out of control voice, "I love you, Stevie."
Oh,
in,
honey.
Like into the darkness.
Baby shoes.
And I thought, honey, she loves you too, but shush.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was hilarious. It never dawned on me. Yeah. And I've seen Stevie Nicks, I don't know, 10 times, because my brother's such a fan, you know, some combination of Stevie Nicks or Fleetwood Mac. And oh my God, it was crazy.
See, I love Stevie Nicks, but I don't love Stevie
right.
Nicks. Not yeah. in the way like I love Helen Mirren.
Well,
but the other list.
That borders on stalking.
It does, actually.
You went to
That's
New York.
Obsessive. I'm a bit of a sycophant. But, but no, I'm not. I'm an executive. I'm an executive stalker of Helen Mirren. But,
you're an elegant stalker.
I'm an elegant stalker. A young elegant. But the lesbians that I know who I was kind of sitting near, you know, love Stevie Nicks in that way. So I think it's adorable. It kind of cracks me up.
I think it is too. And, you know, and certainly she's, I think that she is a worthy gay icon. I mean, I think she's
been
around for a long time. She's always about some
mentoring
peace, love,
young
and,
yeah, people. She's,
absolutely. She doesn't seem.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, she's never said anything bad. She's never done anything. She's who we need.
She is. She's got a queerness about her, otherworldliness about her,
so
that
too.
I think is great. So speaking of queer otherworldliness, yeah, all theatricality, all of this. What did you think? We haven't been able to talk about it, about Lady Gaga and the VMAs.
Oh,
at first
VMAs.
I thought Sal Mineo had taken
or
over.
Or Cher, because remember Cher
or
came
Scott
out as
Baio.
Elvis? Came out as Elvis.
Uh-huh.
Or on her old show she did,
well, so
West
did
Side
Annie
Story.
Lennox. Annie Lennox did that once too.
Yes, which, yeah. And so I liked it. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it got a little old.
Did she need to do it the whole show? I kind of thought she would costume change, but
I
think that was her point.
I give her props for doing it for the whole show, because I sort of liked
the
commitment to a bit.
I was pretty impressed
that
she was in character and committed.
I liked the commitment to the bit. I just wish the bit was better.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I love the bit and the commitment to the bit. I just wish the bit were better.
Yeah. I thought she was pretty good. I think maybe she got a little drunk by the second half.
If we're going to talk about VMAs, yeah, she probably was a little drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the
VMAs are. She was drinking like whiskey.
Go for it,
girl. It's the Golden Globes of the music.
This was my thing. Like, you know, the VMAs were on, and then, you know, I spend, you know, the next couple of days after that sort of scouring the blogs to see what people say. I like to, you
know, I just feel old because I don't know who half the freaking people are anymore.
Well, there was that whole thing that happened with the guy that got the Best New Artist. Turns out he uses the word faggot 231 times on his debut CD.
No way.
I'm not making this up. Not 231, 213. And his excuse, please guys, you have to check this out. His name's like Tyler the Creator or something.
Yes.
Bullshit! Like that. Like, who calls himself Tyler the Creator? Anyway, God bless you. But his excuse was like, oh, we don't mean it like that. We just use the word faggot because it hurts, because it cuts, it hits. We don't think like that. We're young. We don't think like that. It's not about that. I'm not homophobic. Like, you can't use an incendiary word like that. 200. I mean, that makes Eminem look like motherfucking Teresa.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who, like, used it 15 times on an album, and we were outraged. I'm not exaggerating, 213 times.
Wow.
Somebody counted.
Well, I didn't even know who he was. So
exactly.
I didn't even know that he had an album.
But so that's neither here nor there.
He said faggot on 213 times, you know?
I mean, insane.
Right.
You know, everybody was quelling over Adele, who I love that she didn't, there was no pyrotechnics, no diva fan. She stood and sang, but she sang a little flat, if you ask
one
me.
One note. One note she was flat on.
I felt like I would say the first third of her performance was a little off.
Oh, but I just mean she had one refrain that she kept missing.
And she got back on track, so people were quelling over it, but she was off. I'll tell you what the performance of the night was for me. was Bruno Mars doing Valerie.
I agree.
I thought he nailed that.
He's so adorable. And just the style of the whole thing.
Everything about it I thought was fantastic.
It was a great tribute to Amy Winehouse. I thought that
was the performance of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Beyonce was lip syncing. She looked fabulous, but...
Yeah, she's pregnant as all hell. And she's
I have to say, I feel old too, but I do love the VMAs because people get crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Brown, I mean, he's a reprehensible human being, but the choreography, the aerial choreography was amazing.
Yeah, you like that?
Well, I like the choreography. I thought that was amazing.
I love Neo. I do too. He's classy. I just think he's so classy.
Yeah, he's an elegant boy. You know who loves Neo? Want to hear something funny? Speaking of the queer icons, I don't know if he's like queer and people know it or something's going on, because remember when Barbara got the Kennedy Center honor?
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the people who did... He did an old like jazz standard that Barbara sang, like, of all people. And then I read a quote from Bette Midler saying that, I just had dinner with Neo last night and I love him.
Well, because he produces all these people. He was like this young guy, you know, who came in and started producing. You know, he was a producer and then he started doing his own stuff. Hmm. And what I love about him is,
I love,
like,
that the divas love him.
Yeah, but he's so smooth and he's so cool and he seems so sweet. And I just... Oh, I just adore him. Well, we've been talking about gay icons, you know, from newer icons to
today's
classic
icons.
Standards of the Babs. One of our pop icons has definitely been the band Erasure for many, many years.
Oh,
I mean, I have some good times dancing to some Erasure music and have seen Indy Bell and Erasure perform.
We saw them together.
Times. Yes, and we saw them together, too.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. It reminds me of college. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, totally reminds me of college.
Woo!
And so, anyhow, Jerry Nunn got to sit down with Erasure. They're on tour, so hopefully they're coming to a city near you. They're coming to Chicago this week. So we've got them on the show. Plus, Kirk and I'll bring you some news and what's going on in the theater scene as stages and the boards are starting to heat up as more and more shows are opening as the fall season of theater is upon us. And so sit back, enjoy, and we are way into the month of September here on the Queercast.
Ciao.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
Gay Apple CEO Tim Cook could face his first major crisis if it's true that company security officers have been impersonating police officers. An unreleased version of the iPhone was lost at Kava 22, a bar in San Francisco's Mission District. Then a Bernal Heights man claimed that six officials, saying they were San Francisco cops, questioned him and searched his family's home for a lost iPhone 5 prototype. In California, impersonating a police officer is punishable by up to a year in jail.
Also in California, gay and lesbian congregants were told to leave a meeting of clergy and church members at Los Angeles' Southern Missionary Baptist Church. The congregation gathered to pray for the repeal of the Fair Education Act, or SB 48, which requires that the state add lessons about LGBT history to social studies courses.
California legislators passed AB 9, also known as Seth's Law, a move prompted by a 13-year-old boy's suicide. The law requires schools to create anti-bullying policies and compels them to explicitly state that sexual orientation-based discrimination is not allowed. Seth Walsh was one of an apparent wave of suicides that took part last year.
Houston Mayor Anise Parker, the first LGBT person to hold that position in a large U.S. city, has officially filed re-election papers. Parker is seeking a second two-year term in the city elections this November. Two other candidates have officially filed so far.
In Wisconsin, openly lesbian U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin has announced her official bid for the U.S. Senate. And in South Dakota, former Rapid City Council member Marla Murphy is planning a run for a seat on the political body after coming out as transgender.
An adult film actor who initially tested positive for HIV, causing Los Angeles' porn industry to temporarily shut down, has now tested negative. Free Speech Coalition Executive Director Diane Duke said that filming can now resume after this false positive test result. The Free Speech Coalition is working on a database to track STD testing programs among porn actors.
U.S. officials have approved the distribution of the gay-themed publication OutServe at Army and Air Force bases, coinciding with the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's the first time administrators have allowed such a publication on their bases. OutServe will deliver a special repeal issue on September 20th, the day Don't Ask, Don't Tell officially ends.
Lambda Legal filed a lawsuit in the United States District Court for the Northern District of Texas, claiming Tarrant County College officials violated the United States Constitution by preventing Jacqueline Gill from interviewing for full-time teaching positions because they believe she is a lesbian. Gill, a PhD student and former high school English teacher, most recently worked as a full-time temporary professor at Tarrant County College. While she received praise from colleagues, Gill claims that English department chair Eric Devlin told her that Texas and Tarrant County College do not like homosexuals.
The 2010 U.S. Census data shows that there are slightly more than 900,000 same-sex couples in the U.S. Moreover, the couples are in 99% of U.S. counties. 60% are female, 40% male. 22% of them raise children, with most of the parents in the Deep South and Mountain West regions.
In world news, openly gay Irish Senator David Norris recently quit the presidential race because of a scandal, but voters want him in the race. Norris was the one to beat until it was revealed that he privately written a letter on official stationery defending his then-partner, who had been convicted of statutory rape with a 15-year-old boy in Israel in 1997. 34% of voters said they want Norris to re-enter the race.
In London, the city's highest-ranking gay police officer will again try to become its first out gay mayor. Brian Paddock ran as a Liberal Democrats nominee 3 years ago, and the exact same field of candidates will again compete next year.
In Mexico City, same-sex adoption is legal, but only one couple, a lesbian couple, has applied so far for adoption, even though legislators granted same-sex couples the right to adopt a year ago. Surveys show that throughout Mexico, residents are not open to the idea of gay adoption.
The Reverend Tom Gordon Dean, a senior minister in the Church of Ireland, has revealed that he is in a civil partnership. Many believe that this is the first partnership for a serving Church of Ireland minister.
In Scotland, soldier Terry Porter, 19, has become the first person in the country to be convicted of transgender abuse. Porter issued threats of violence at Chloe Dow after banging on the door of her home. Porter said, "Get up or I'll drag you out and knock you out. You're a mutant. You look like a freak." Porter was fined £350, or approximately $560, instead of the usual £200, or approximately $320, for the anti-transgender abuse.
Scotland, England, and Wales will lift a lifetime ban on gay men donating blood. Government ministers have agreed to allow men who have had sex with men to donate. If they have not had sexual relations within the past 12 months, it will be effective in November.
In entertainment news, actors Teddy Fears and Zachary Quinto will play gay in the upcoming series American Horror Story. The FX show, from Glee co-creators Brad Falchuk and Ryan Murphy, had already cast Quinto as the gay former owner of the home where the protagonist couple, played by Dylan McDermott and Connie Britton, live. Fears, who played the blue-eyed man on Torchwood, will play Quinto's partner.
Sting is teaming with Tony Award-winning book writer and lyricist Brian Yorkie, best known for Next to Normal, for a new musical entitled The Last Ship. The production is set in the city of Newcastle in the 1980s. Sting will write new songs for The Last Ship instead of using his catalog of hits.
Boxing legend Oscar De La Hoya has admitted to dressing in drag and considering suicide because of cocaine and alcohol addiction. De La Hoya, 38, confirmed that photos of him in high heels, fishnets, and lingerie are real, saying, "I am tired now of lying, to the public, and of lying to myself."
Singer-actor Cheyenne Jackson married longtime partner Monty Lapka in the Hamptons on September 2nd after 11 years together. Jackson is an accomplished actor who's been on Ugly Betty, Glee, and 30 Rock, and on Broadway in Thoroughly Modern Millie, Xanadu, and Damn Yankees.
Former Buffy the Vampire Slayer star Sarah Michelle Gellar will head back to All My Children for one day before the daytime show's final episode on September 23rd. Gellar once played Susan Lucci's daughter on the show, but another actress now plays that role. So it is still to be seen who she will play on the episode.
The first guests on Anderson, Anderson Cooper's new talk show debuting September 12th, are the family and boyfriend of the late singer Amy Winehouse. Winehouse died in late July at the age of 27.
Fashion designer John Galliano has been found guilty of committing hate crimes after making anti-Semitic and racist remarks. The court imposed a suspended fine of 6,000 euros, or $8,500, and also ordered to pay a symbolic €1 fine to one of the plaintiffs. The $8,500 fine is suspended on one condition, that Galliano is not found guilty of any crime in France for 5 years.
Regis Philbin's last appearance on the daytime talk show Live with Regis and Kelly will be November 18th. Philbin, age 80, is leaving the show after 28 years.
Google recently paid tribute to the late singer Freddie Mercury with an animated doodle. The doodle featured a 90-second video set to the song Don't Stop Me Now, with the Queen frontman performing and vacuuming at home dressed as a woman.
Larry Kramer is joining Dustin Lance Black's Play 8 based on the trial in the federal legal challenge to California's Proposition 8. Kramer, the playwright of The Normal Heart, will play civil rights attorney Evan Wolfson, also the founder and president of Freedom to Marry. The one-night-only benefit, scheduled for September 19th, includes Marissa Tomei, Cheyenne Jackson, John Lithgow, and Morgan Freeman.
Elizabeth Taylor's renowned jewelry collection will be auctioned off in December at a two-day sale, expected to raise more than $30 million. The December 13th and 14th sale, organized by Christie's, will follow a global three-month tour that will also include the late star's fine art, couture, and memorabilia.
And the 2011 Kennedy Center Honors will go to actress Meryl Streep, soprano Barbara Cook, cellist Yo-Yo Ma, singer Neil Diamond, and saxophonist Sonny Rollins. The program will run on CBS in late December, but the actual ceremony will take place December 4th.
And that's the weekend news, brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. In the dark, we hear a woman cough twice, and the word day two appear on the screen in blood-red letters. Then we see Gwyneth Paltrow as a woman coughing. She's sitting in a VIP lounge at O'Hare Airport and looks feverish. Uh-oh. We're barely 2 minutes into director Steven Soderbergh's riveting movie Contagion, which tracks the course of a deadly virus a la SARS or H1N1, as it quickly morphs into a worldwide pandemic. Already, he stripped the focus down to the basics, and you're filled with dread and delight at what's coming up. We're off and running in what is essentially a modern-day version of the old Irwin Allen disaster flicks, playing the game of who will survive, with a starry name cast, each of whom will try their hardest to make it across the finish line before fate catches up with them. The participants include Paltrow, Matt Damon, Laura Fishburne, Kate Winslet, Marion Cotillard, Jude Law, Dimitri Martin, blah, blah, blah. Lots of people in this one. Scott Z. Burns' script is methodical and ultra-realistic. I can't speak today. I should slow down. I'm afraid that Contagion is going to get me. And though the film, which feels as cool and lethal as the deadly killer itself, has plenty of heart, and it's populated with recognizable characters rather than stereotypes, it's a very unglamorous, almost clinical approach that makes the frightening intensity of the subject matter that much more effective. You're filled with terror from beginning to end, and even when good news comes, and there is some, suspicion lingers, and it's hard to believe in a world that operates in absolutes that any such thing exists. No one becomes a zombie as in 28 Days Later, but the trajectory in Contagion is about the same, and 10 times more frightening because of its true-to-life very probable scenario. Ooh. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute. I gotta go.
Hey, this is Colton Ford, and you're being turned on by the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 12th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Victory Gardens presents In the Next Room, or The Vibrator Play. Sarah Rule's Tony-nominated comedy about female sexuality, intimacy, and marriage in the twilight of the Victorian age. For tickets and information, visit victorygardens.org. In the Next Room, or The Vibrator Play, is playing now.
Don't miss About Face Theater and Chicago Dramatist production of The Kid Thing by lesbian playwright Sarah Gubbins. When two lesbian couples get together for a dinner party, the unexpected news of an impending pregnancy rocks both relationships. For tickets and information, visit aboutfacetheater.com. Playing now through October 16th at Chicago Dramatist, 1105 West Chicago Avenue.
Babes with Blades Theater Company presents The Double, a 1940s screwball comedy meets swashbuckler in this world premiere tribute to Cyrano de Bergerac. The play centers on Minnie, an actress and stage combatant reunited with her childhood crush, the B-movie starlet Olivia Wood. Performances Thursday through Saturday through September 24th at the Lincoln Square Theater, 4754 North Lovett. Check out babeswithblades.org for tickets and more. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
How can I explain when there are few words I can choose? How can I explain when words get broken?
Hi, Andy. Calling from
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, calling from Chicago.
Fantastic. How is it?
It's beautiful today. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Good.
Where are you? You're in Brazil still, or?
Yeah, we're in São Paulo in Brazil, yeah. It's just, it's been cloudy all day. It's just starting to break through now.
What are the fans like there?
Well, so far they've been very, very sweet. They've been quite... not very loud in the audience, but they've been singing along to all the words, but especially the younger ones,
mm-hmm.
and they've been really very generous with their gifts and things. We've got loads of T-shirts, huge, great, big, cuddly toys and things, which, of course, you can't carry them all around because it's too much, so we have to give them away to people, but they have been really, really sweet, yeah.
What's the craziest thing a fan has ever given you?
The craziest thing, I would say, was a fairy that was like made out of an old rubber condom that was kind of put inside a little box, and it was really sweet. It was, I think it was like one of those rib tickler type condoms, so it had little ears on it and stuff, and they made it a face and put little legs on it and things and put it inside a little box.
That's very creative.
Yeah, it was very creative. It looked realistic. Quite realistic.
Well, it's always good talking to you. I think last time we talked it was for the box set coming out. So it's been a while. I wanted to ask you how your solo album maybe influenced the new Erasure album in some ways.
Well, I think it did, but I think, I don't know whether Frank heard it or not, Frank Music heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I know Vince heard it, but I think it's all, I think all of these things work subconsciously, you know, and I think just by the very fact of doing it, you kind of set the bar up a bit, you know, and you kind of put, you know, more energy into it and stuff like that. And I think it definitely that has happened on some subliminal level, but whether people are aware of it or not, I don't know. But I think definitely with the synth programming, with Vince's work and Frank's work, it's definitely giving it a really energetic input.
Yeah. Now, how did you meet Frank Music, and how did that happen?
Well, we didn't really meet. He did a remix for us of from the Innocence reissue of Phantom Bride, which I really loved, and I loved some of his own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a real synth fanatic as well, you know. And he loves Vince's work, and I think he was just wanted to work with us, and it was one that I must say was really encouraged by the fans, and it just worked out that Frank was the one that we ended up working with, and I really wanted to work with him as well, instinctively.
Yeah, he's up and coming big time.
Yeah, he's great. He's fantastic.
So you're on, right now you're on a Total Pop tour, right? Are you still doing that one?
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, so we nearly finished the first half of the whole tour, so it's the... So this half is Total Pop, and the next bit's going to be Tomorrow's World.
Okay, so you get a break, or you just start going?
Well, we don't really get a break, but we get to turn it round. We get to turn it round in Tampa. Mm-hmm. We've got all our new production there and stuff coming in, so
yeah.
We're going to just have to reinvent a new show, a whole new show, like in 6 days, you know.
Wow. Now, is it going to have a theme? Is it a space
well,
theme?
Well, it's kind of, we've got the, I mean, we're doing 6 tracks for the new album, so they're quite difficult, mm-hmm. Performing-wise, and then also quite a lot of material from this part of the tour, so there'll still be singles and stuff like that, mm-hmm. stuff that people know. There's a big, huge stage set which mm-hmm. looks very Tomorrow's World-ish. It's quite Dune-ish,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. with our stained glass window motif that we've had sometimes.
Nice.
So hopefully, it'll be really nice.
And light visuals and all that, I'm sure.
Yeah, a whole lot.
Now, the first song on the album, Be With You, really has... Seems like you're stretching vocally a lot in that one.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's a...
Well, that's really high, that one. I mean, that's one of the most difficult songs to sing on the album.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be the next single as well, Be With You. So, yeah, it was very high. I mean, the thing about it was, when doing vocals with Frank, which we did in his... LA studio,
mm-hmm.
He uses loads and loads of EQ and compression before you even go into the his Mac, so you have to sing literally on the edge, on the top of your voice, so mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite hard.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a video coming out?
We haven't seen it, so we don't know what it's going to look like at all. They just took some live footage of us,
Kind
of on the road, backstage and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. You have a song called Then I Go Twisting. Is that about dancing?
Yeah, Then I Go Twisting, yeah. That's well, that's kind of like a, that's, somebody said that sounds like a song written to an Erasure fan, but it's just a song about the monotony of life in small town Britain, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can see, like, people are so bored and
mm-hmm.
there's nothing to do there, you know, the music's all the same on the radio. There's nothing for them to do, and that's this song. It's Then I Go Twisting, I Go Insane, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. I think the last time we talked, too, I found out you're from a smaller town, right?
Yeah, I am, yeah. Oh. Peterborough, it's called.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there an opener for the tour? Is there anyone playing for you? Or?
Well, I think Frank Music is doing it in the
Frank
US.
Frank can do it, okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you guys really don't use a lot of guest stars on your music.
No, not really.
Kind of interesting that you never
don't
do that too much. And how does Erasure, you know, stay relevant, you know, to new fans and things like that at this
point? Yeah, well, I think it's just one of those things. I mean, you don't really always
mm-hmm.
stay relevant. You know, you it's like anything. You kind of bands are like fashion, really, and you go in and out. And I think at the moment, I think we seem to have quite a broad, or quite a large elliptical path, and it takes us ages till when we come back in again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now we feel like we're only coming in again. But mm-hmm. I think there's not that many people that kind of understand us
mm-hmm.
on a really fundamental level, I think, because we're not. I mean, although we do great shows and things like that, I think underneath it all, we're kind of we're not really rock stars. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't take it really all that too seriously, really. You know, yeah. I mean, we love doing music. We love writing songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's just me and Vince, and we're not really. I mean, we don't. We're never on MTV and all those things. You know, mm-hmm. So I think we're pretty much out of it, really.
Mm-hmm. Your fans have are quite a variety, though. I remember at the Cowboy Tour, you know, it was gay fans, kind of 80s fans, and a lot of Asian fans.
Yeah.
So I wonder where that following comes from. But it's,
well, I think that's all the techno people. I don't know. Oh. Maybe that's all the geeky people. I'm mm-hmm. not sure.
Right. Are you going to, when you're in Chicago, are you going to get to go out at all? I mean, I know you sometimes
well, I hope
to
so. I know that I'm DJing probably after the first gig, so... which I'm not sure where yet, but...
Oh, okay.
Keep your eye out, yeah, so definitely I'll be out one evening, so...
Yeah, great. Well, it'd be great to meet you face-to-face since I've talked to you a few
times. Oh, great.
Times and all that.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, get back to the States safe and
okay.
Have a great time there. Thank you so much
thank
for
you very
the
interview,
Andy. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Mitchell, thanks so much for being on with me.
Sure.
Maybe we'll hit the erasure costume. Costume.
Maybe concert. We'll wear erasure costumes.
Maybe we'll wear erasure costumes. And
we won't go to the concert. We'll just put on costumes and
yes,
dance.
I just think that people should hire us to go to their concerts and then just do the byline.
Right.
It's not like really a review.
Right.
It's just like,
no, it's more like, hey.
It's more like, hey, you sang flat on that note.
Yeah.
You know, or you were really.
I'm sure Adele wants to hear me tell her that she's singing flat.
She does. She does not want to hear you say that. But thanks for being on, because I can't think of anybody who knows their icons better than you.
You know, I love my divas.
And I do want to know if you're excited about the new Judy Garland Broadway show. Have you heard about this new?
I have.
Are you trepidatious?
I am. You know, because I'll see it, but I'm trepidatious because it's like you can't reproduce that voice. Mm-hmm. You can do an imitation, mm-hmm. but to reproduce what that feeling was, mm-hmm. she was unique, and I'm quoting Tony Bennett, she was unique in her ability to rouse an audience. He said it, he was quoted as saying it was like being at a revival meeting.
Mm.
So if you don't get a performer who can do that
yeah.
to an audience, and you can't learn that,
yeah.
that's something that you are gifted with
yep.
because of the damage that has been done to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
She needed love so much that she gave so much, and it came flooding back in some weird mm-hmm. way that can't be repeated. So I think it's a really large task. Another thing we'll have to talk about eventually is the casting of Funny Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren Ambrose.
Oh, yeah.
From 6 Feet Under.
Yes.
That'll be interesting.
That'll be
How do you cast a non-Jew as Fanny Bryce? That's all
know.
I'm putting out there. I'm just going to say that.
To be discussed.
To be discussed.
Please turn your term papers in.
Yes, I want to know what you think about a non-Jewish Fanny Bryce.
Yes, 3 pages, front and back. That's all we're requiring. Give us your thoughts,
please.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.